a show.
Coming to you live from the stop off between the Bay Area and Tahoe, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now wishing he were somewhere cooler too, here's Nate.
And I was, and I came back.
The
back,
fool.
Yeah, back from vacation.
Literally or figuratively cooler?
Both.
Ooh.
Both, actually. Craziness.
Come on, there's nowhere cooler than right here with your great friends and your cats and French fries.
In the living room studio?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the best place to be. This is exclusive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Coming up on the show today, we'll talk about Rob Pattinson and what he had to say about Twilight fans. Find out what's really an aspartame. Yeah. Plus,
hold on,
plus,
I gotta drink some more Diet Coke right now.
Okay. yeah, exactly what you want. Plus, we're going to talk Ben Affleck, Miley Cyrus, and
butts.
Yeah, and a girl who stole her bike back from a thief.
Yay!
Dirty
she
thief.
Stole her honey like stole her bike like she stole her. I don't know.
There was her honey involved?
No.
Probably syrup is in Canada.
New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food. Makes
Ted loves
me
that
sick.
Song.
I think it's five when a girl stops by for the summer.
Oh, is that horrible song you made me listen to? Oh,
thank
why?
You. My God, you're good.
I think he has
you're good, sir.
He has tortured Ted drops.
Yeah,
this song is amazing.
I don't think I know this song. Where have I been? What song is this?
It's LFO Summer Girls.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
No.
Last summer.
You'll get in a second.
New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick.
Yeah, like I think it's randomly ramble about things.
For the summer. For the summer.
It's like the Gordy Little of
I like girls
music.
That wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
Really?
Were you
on like a silent retreat for an entire summer once?
I don't know. I think I missed this somehow.
I have no idea how you missed this song.
Well, here's what happens. I go through phases where I listen to lots of radio, and then I switch and I listen to nothing but NPR for like 6 months. Then I get sick of facts and I go back to pop radio. So it's really hit or miss what songs I catch.
Facts are the worst.
They are sometimes, but yeah, Summertime Girls, it's tough to miss that one. That was pretty big.
Even if you
weren't listening, I like the song too.
Under a rock, sorry.
Hey, if you'd like
would you rather he play the Sacramento song? I think you should choose wisely.
Stop everything.
I do have that one on demand too. Hey, if you'd like to call us to request a song, say something about Ted or Becca or myself or Christiana or anything at all, you can call the hotline at 818-861-6283. If you missed it, just go to the website, natedarlingshow.com, and it's right there on the top banner. You can also email the show if you'd like. It's natedarlingshow@gmail.com.
I recommend you ask for Cotton Eye Joe.
Where did you come from?
Where did you go?
Well, back from vacation, to answer your question, I went to Oregon and Seattle. So I figured I would break it up and talk about the vacation in two parts because it was 6 days. So I'm going to do Tuesday through Thursday, which was Tuesday, got up and drove to Portland, Oregon from Sacramento. Ooh.
How long did it take you?
We took our time. You know, we stopped for lunch, gas. We actually stopped at some outlets about 30 miles south of Portland. Mm-hmm. So it took us, by the time we got to the hotel, about 12 hours. We also stopped at Fire on the Mountain, Buffalo Wings, and Voodoo Donut, because my friend Jay had never been to Voodoo Donut, he'd never been to Oregon, so he hadn't been to either. And Fire on the Mountain is fantastic wings. If you're in Portland, look up one of their locations. Their wings are fantastic. They've got a bunch of different sauces.
On
different
the scale
sort of
zero
stuff.
To Hooters.
Oh, Hooters isn't
I'm
even on
kidding.
The wing scale. But it's kind of a cool place to go and have. Like, we got there on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and it was packed.
Wow.
That gives you an idea of what it's like. And it's just filled with locals. So we
what's the allure of wings?
Are they
spicy? Or are they
yeah.
Just
and
really good marinade? I mean, what's the
their wings start, the meat is really good. They've got a bunch of different spice combinations. They've got the basic ones. They've got a few. They are kind of experimental with what they do, so you can try some different sort of wing flavoring at Fire on the Mountain. And they also brew their own beer there, too, which I didn't. Mm. That was one of the places I did not have beer. I was very good on my diet for a very short period of time, and then kind of bad, and then good, and then really bad by the end.
Okay, oh. I was
you
curious.
You look thinner, though. I mean, no, really, no. You look thinner today than last time I saw you.
No, well, I gained 6 pounds in 6 days, but I lost 2.2 in the first day back. So I'm up about 3.5 pounds or so.
Well, it doesn't show.
Thank you.
No, it doesn't show at all. That's true. I was curious about how you handled that, because that's got to be a lot of pressure to be on. You've been on a pretty strict diet.
Yeah, and you know, traveling. I was able to keep to it pretty good. I mean, wings are a little bit of a cheat because you can have chicken but not the skin. So that's a little bit of a cheat, so I didn't really count that. Mm-hmm. When we went to Widmer on Wednesday, Widmer Brewing Company in Portland, also fantastic. The food is unbelievably good there. And the beer is really good too.
I do like their beer.
I had their beer, and I had a barbecue pulled pork sandwich, which is such a cheat.
That sounds delicious.
It was fantastic.
At least for people on the couch right now who would eat that. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Wait, now you have not been drinking at all. Did you have a beer and get like super lightheaded?
Oh, because... yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Complete lightweight. Complete lightweight.
It's a good way to save money, though.
You've totally
need as many beers.
Well, yes, but by the time the trip was over, it builds up quickly if you've ever done it. So Wednesday morning, got up, and I was really good on Wednesday. Wednesday was the day I got up early, earlier than my friend Jay. I went down to the treadmill, and I walked 2 miles on the treadmill. And then we went to Forest Park, which is the largest park that's in city limits anywhere in the country.
Ooh.
And I posted some pictures on Facebook, and there's hiking trails, so we hiked there for quite a bit. Then we went to Widmer for lunch and went back to the hotel to change, get ready to go to the Timbers game that night. And we took the MAX light rail back into Portland, and we walked around downtown. So we got to go on, you know, Flanders Street. Stupid Flanders.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
Lovejoy Avenue. Familiar to you? Yeah, that's where the street names for the names for the Simpsons come from, streets in Portland. Lovejoy, Flanders, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh.
So we did that. We went to...
I guarantee you, as Rob's listening to this, he's going, Lovejoy? It didn't come from that.
Yeah,
it comes
sure.
from a British series about a very cool, like... artifact detective. It's not a cool show. I'm sorry, I love you. It's like Magnum PI meets Antiques Roadshow.
Ooh, so that actually does sound kind of cool.
From the mid 80s.
Okay,
I'm awesome. Just throwing out there.
So it makes sense. The Timbers. So we walked all over Portland. So Wednesday, normally at 10,000 steps is what I go for. So that's about 5 miles. Wednesday, I got in 20,000.
Wow.
I walked 10 miles. And in addition to that, the Timbers game, which was the most intense sports experience I've ever been a part of.
Wow, wow.
And I've been to baseball, football, hockey, basketball, you name it. I've been to WWE.
The most intense sport
of all. Now
this is
lame. Remind me what kind of sport the Timbers are again.
They are a Major League Soccer team.
Okay. Cause I know that's the team where when they score, there's chainsaw action, right?
Yes, Timber Joey cuts off a hunk of the log and will then present it to the player that scored the goal at the end of the game.
So he gives him wood at the end of the game.
So what?
Sure, he gives him wood.
Got
so
it.
So what made it so intense?
Well, first of all, we were seated. There's a general admission section on the end of the field. It's reserved for the Timbers Army. So first come, first served. We went to the team store early, like before we went back to the hotel. And this was about noon. Game time's 8 o'clock. There were already people lined up for the Timbers Army because it's general admission. They lined up 8 hours before the game.
Dang.
Wow.
I like hometown support.
That's awesome. It's fantastic.
That's amazing.
It's
great.
Absolutely fantastic. And
fucking Portland, man.
There's singing and chanting from there. Like, if you're in that section, there's singing and chanting and clapping and no sitting down.
Just that section? Or does everyone else golf clap?
Well, it was the end. It's the ends of the stadium. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're in the ones in the middle of the field, there were people sort of sitting down there and enjoying it. But the Timbers Army and the sections next to them, kind of where we were, if you sat down, you didn't see because nobody sat down while the game was on. You sat down at halftime.
Crazy.
And that was it. So
Who were they playing?
They played Real Salt Lake. Salt Lake.
Really?
They scored, if they scored first.
Huh?
Exactly.
Utah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it, but sure.
I call it Real Salt Lake. But so they fell behind. They ended up coming from behind in the second half to take the lead, and they ended up giving up the tying goal in stoppage time. And stoppage time occurs, for people who don't follow soccer, and I'll make this brief so it won't bore you to death. In soccer, there is a 45-minute running clock for each half. They never stop the clock. Now, at the end of the half, each half, what they have something called stoppage time, which is the amount of time that elapsed while a player
while
was down.
Pansies fall down and fake it on the ground.
They were falling down on the field. Something happened where you normally would stop a clock. They don't. And then they just put a thing up about how much stoppage time there was. Yeah. And at the end of the first half, there was 2 minutes. At the end of the game, 6 minutes. But there's no running.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of stoppage time.
It's a lot of stoppage time.
That's a
ton. And it was about 5 minutes into stoppage time because my buddy ran a clock on his cell phone. Mm. That they gave up the tying goal. But 6 goals in a soccer game is insane.
Yeah, that's
really
a lot.
Yeah. It's absolutely insane.
So no defense.
you know, there was. It was just, everything just sort of came in spurts. But it was a really... It was a very exciting game. So that was Wednesday. And then Thursday, we got up in Portland and drove to Seattle. Checked into our hotel. We stayed down near SeaTac. And my friends at Q13 Fox in Seattle, hi, not that they listen, hooked me up with tickets to the Mariners game.
Ooh.
So I get to stop off there and get a tour of the station, which I found out is in an old candy factory on Lake Union. So it's really cool. So you walk in and they have this really nice lobby and wood stuff and... Newsroom's on the first floor with that. Second floor is creative services in the studios. Third floor is sales because, sales.
we need them for some reason.
Okay. Oh, what's going on?
The cat's destroying the house.
Hey, cats. We're doing a podcast here. Come on.
Cat knocked over a water bottle into the mic stand.
Oh, that's what the thumping was. And we went to the Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle right after that. And the Woodland Park Zoo is kind of cool for the animals. But
not for the humans?
To see the animals is sometimes a frustrating event.
Why is that?
Because it's really cool for the animals because they have lots of places to hide.
Ah.
So you don't necessarily see them. So the first half of the time at the zoo was a lot of walking around looking at what seemed to be empty enclosures.
Was it kind of like when you watch the Blair Witch Project and you keep scanning the foliage and you're just waiting for something to pop out and it never does?
Sort of, but it's like, oh, yay, there's a zebra. Okay, it's a horse with stripes. Hey, the wild pig's great. Where's everything else? It's nice for the animals, but then eventually as we move forward, we got to see more and more animals. Like some of the biggest orangutans I've ever seen in my life. Huge orangutans. But
I feel like those guys are always hiding at the Sacramento Zoo.
Yeah, well...
I go to the zoo way too much, and I've seen them like 4 times.
The way the enclosures at the Sacramento Zoo are set up, they are going to be further away. The setup at this zoo, the orangutans were actually very close. It was really very close to see them. But it was good. We had a 2-for-1 coupon for that. So that was good. That was fun. And then it was time to have dinner. And we went down to the waterfront in Seattle. And this is going to be the end of this part of the story, so we'll move on to the podcast for anybody who's bored with my vacation.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap this part, and we'll do the other one on the Friday show.
Fine.
So I said before I went, I wanted to, for the first time ever, try king crab. Because I've never had crab.
See, following on Facebook.
Even I've had crab, and I don't even eat animals. That's so weird.
Yeah, so...
that is weird.
We decided to go to the Crab Pot Restaurant and Bar.
Crab Pot,
which is, it's a chain, and there's a couple in the Seattle area, but they're also in a few other places. And I got king crab legs, and they were fantastic.
Oh.
Now, was it the whole, like, you get a bib and you hit them with a hammer and, like, this interactive experience?
Yeah, but you didn't necessarily, I mean, the king crab legs, you didn't necessarily need a hammer to get into. You can take them and break them off at the joint and do it that way. So it's a very messy, hands-on sort of thing. There's no clean, quick, easy way to do it. So that was really good. I liked it a lot. People told me it was like whitefish, and it is. It's like if you have, say, haddock or some sort of whitefish like that, but it's much richer in flavor and sweeter.
I do not like crab. I've never really warmed a crab. I love lobster.
Yeah.
But the flavor of the crab I've never really dug.
Ted, I know crab is not kosher. Did you ever try it?
I don't know. I've never tried that one, no.
Because it's not kosher, or just because you don't like
it? I don't know. Something about sea, that kind of seafood just kind of turns me off.
Giant cockroaches of the sea?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, just the combination of being raised.
Exoskeletons are creepy.
Yeah.
Being raised Jewish or certain things that I just can't really get myself to try just because he had such a taboo associated
with it. The first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says, ow, you stop.
Sorry. That's okay.
Sorry.
I had it coming. So anyway, yeah.
Did I mention, I had a Jewish, very serious Jewish boyfriend at one point, and he was very scared that his mom was going to hate me because I was like...
Those were very bad times.
Because I was not Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And the first night, and then we drove cross country and stayed at his parents' house. And the very first night there, she served a really delicious kugel, which was amazing, that I never had before, and lobster. And I was like, come on. Why are you? I think I'm going to be fine. She's serving lobster.
Yeah.
She can't care that much.
Yeah, she can't.
She has to be equally. I mean, if she's going to serve lobster, she must willingly accept a potential Shiksa daughter-in-law.
Right.
Named Christiana.
Yeah. Rub it in her face.
Right there.
So basically, the the verdict on crab was, I enjoyed crab, but I could not eat all of it. It was like a pound and a half of king crab. And I even gave like two legs to my buddy, and he had like two crab legs, and there was still like one and a half left of mine. Because he got his own like salmon and different kind of crab sort of feast. But I like king crab, so all of his time watching Deadliest Catch now paying off.
Oh, good. Okay. King crab.
I've started to enjoy lobster less because I just feel bad about them. Like when I have the whole, when it's just the tail, I'm okay. Or if it's the meat extracted, it's okay. But then I can't help but like flip it over and sex the lobster because I used to work in an aquarium. So I'd be like, is it a boy or a girl?
Oh, determine the gender. Yeah. I was wondering.
No, I don't know its gender. We didn't have that kind of discussion, but I could at least tell it's sex.
I turned it over and sexed it. And that sounds really dirty.
Sex that lobster good. The flipperettes, you guys. It's who can tell the difference. The women have large ones so they can fan oxygen through the eggs, which they keep under their tails.
Oh.
Very good.
The men have tiny ones.
Yeah, and I understand, like, if you've got a whole lobster, you've got eyes looking at you.
You do.
And I can see where that would be an issue.
And the brain, little bits are inside, and some of the dirty bits, and I'm like...
Yeah, see, with the king crab, it's just legs.
Just legs.
There's no hockey puck center.
It's like a ZZ Top of...
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Legs.
So good.
He knows how to use them.
And so,
or eat them.
And then after that, right next to the crab pot, there is the Seattle Great Wheel, which is only about a year old.
Is it great?
It is fantastic, Ted.
Is it a wheel?
But it's not a fantastic
Is it like
wheel.
It's like the London Eye? Is it like a big old
Ferris wheel
type
thing? It's smaller, obviously, than the London Eye. I believe it's 75 feet tall. But you're in, it's basically a Ferris wheel with enclosed gondolas. And if you're just going in the regular, and it wasn't that busy because it was a Thursday night, and we went on about sunset. So we got the sun setting over Puget Sound, and we got glinting off the buildings in downtown Seattle. Really gorgeous views. And apparently, if you want to pay a lot of money, you can get, because it's just bench seats normally, they've got the VIP experience.
Ooh.
Where the gondola has bucket seats in it.
Ooh, bucket seats.
And a glass floor. So you get another level of looking. I mean, the gondolas are...
I don't know if I'd like that.
Yeah, well, either way, it's more expensive if you want to do that. But that was a lot of fun, and that was the first half of the... Yeah, that was the first half of the trip. And of course, while I was there, I kept having this song playing in my head over and over again.
Oh.
Talk about stupid lyrics, but still.
Who is this?
Owl City.
That's right, Owl City.
So that was playing in my head, and it was fine. But coming up on Friday's show, I'll detail the rest of the Seattle trip, and then back to Portland for more beer and other wonders of Oregon. So stick around for that the next time. Becca, the last time we were all together, you were fresh off your, what was it, 10, 12 days of not talking?
Yeah, I wouldn't say fresh. I think I'd had about 2 hours of sleep and, 12 days of rigorous not talking. I felt pretty fried, actually. I kind of don't even know what came out of my mouth those shows.
Well, basically, it sounded, and I said this at the time, it sounded more like a hostage situation than something you would do willingly. So now that you've had another 10 days or so to think about all of your thinking, What would you say about your time of silence, meditation, and retreat?
I would say actually that the stress of it is wearing off, and every single day since I've been home, I have gotten up early and meditated for an hour. And I can meditate for an hour like at the drop of a hat now, which is amazing to me, because before I went to this retreat, like maybe 15 minutes and I'd be kind of cracking an eyeball open and going, how long has it been, you know? And now having done it 10 hours a day, like sitting down for an hour in the morning is no problem, which is kind of awesome. Like, I feel like I'm really grounded in my meditation practice in a way that I haven't been. And then Ted and I watched a documentary about Vipassana meditation, which is on Netflix streaming, if anyone's curious. And it's called The Dhamma Brothers. And it's about Vipassana meditation in a maximum security prison in Alabama. It was Alabama, right?
It was Alabama, yeah.
Yeah, and they're the first prison to try this in the U.S. They've been doing it in prisons in Asia, but they tried it here, and it was a documentary about that experience. And just watching the men in the movie go through it and talk about it kind of reminded me, like, oh yeah, that's what I did. Because it's such a solitary experience when you're in it that it's really hard to get context for it even while you're going through it. And I watched it and I listened to people talk about what it meant to them, and I realized like that it was really good. I'm really glad that I did it. And I don't know, ooh, I like this Zen New Age music we have going on behind here.
It's beautiful Chinese music.
And so I'm hoping, you know, I intend to keep doing it in the morning, and then there's a group around here somewhere, Sacramento Vipassana sitting people. And when I get back from New York in a couple of weeks, I'm going to look them up and try to sit with other people once a week. So I'm going to try and keep up the practice. I think it was good.
There you go.
Yeah, just to double do a second what Becca said, the documentary is fantastic. It really provides a lot of insight about the practice. And it sounds interesting, too, the controversy, like, should we let these prisoners meditate? Because they were afraid that it was going to lead them away from Jesus. But it didn't do that. It was just a spiritual kind of meditation practice that didn't have any religious context to it necessarily, which is interesting.
Yeah, it was really controversial in Alabama, apparently, to let people meditate because it's anti-Christian. But it's not anti-Christian, and it's actually a like totally non-denominational universal practice. But I guess it looked a little bit too witchy, so it got banned in the prison for a while.
But it came back.
But it came back. So.
Yeah, the thumping you're hearing is the sound of my cats rolling around on the mic stand for any jerks. I'm like, who's thumping their damn microphones?
Ace and Hef.
It's the cats. Yeah. Welcome back. So Ted, do you engage in this meditation now?
No, but honestly, after Becca's come back and after watching this documentary, I actually want to try it now. I've been dabbling in other types of meditation because I do see the benefit from it, but I'm still trying to figure out what's right for me. So, yeah.
I watched Eat, Pray, Love this weekend. That's all I have to contribute.
Have you read it?
No, I haven't read it. And I heard the movie wasn't really that fantastic, but I wanted to see it because I knew it would just be pretty.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. And so I watched it, and I think, like, you can probably type yourself by which section of the movie appeals most to you.
Oh, interesting.
And I would never have left Italy. Like, I don't need to go. I don't need to go. Everything about, so the middle section is the pray section, and, you know, she's in India. And I just, no, I have no...
You would have stayed on
I
Eat?
I have less than no desire. I would have stayed on Eat, and I would have stayed on that kind of like... Well, I mean, she really... It's still fucking Julia Roberts at the end. It's not like she turns into one walking noodle or something. But yeah, that just seemed a lot more appealing to me, and I wouldn't want to go live in a... I mean, it was basically a meditative community.
Right.
So, and her like roommate in it is wearing a little button that says, I am in silence. And I was like, oh, Becca.
See, that's funny. Cause if I had to pick one place, I don't know. It would be either India or Bali.
Yeah. Like, so I kind of guessed
the other two aspects. And I don't know. I liked the movie because I have a great affection for the books. Like a lot of people really crapped on the movie, and I guess I couldn't see it objectively because I've read the book twice and I really love it, and I love her second book, Committed, also. And, anyway, Eat, Pray, Love, everybody.
I bet,
do it.
Like, someday I'll get around to reading it.
It's good. But...
Well, it took you this long to watch the movie, so
I know. And sure it was on, and I watched it on, like, StyleNet or something, so with commercials, really.
Yeah.
It just was on, and I got stuck in it. Although, last night, the same thing almost happened, but...
Monday Night Raw?
No, Lifetime movie called Escape from Polygamy, which you know, like, you know, that's going to be good.
Wow. Oh, so, yeah. Anything with sister wives fashion is going to be awesome. Yeah.
A lot of prairie skirts. So I haven't seen the end of it yet, but I did record it.
Yeah. So you don't know if they escaped from polygamy or not?
No, they probably did. I'm sure there was some shunning, though.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, when I was in Bend, Oregon on Sunday morning.
Bend, or?
Yeah. Okay. There, my buddy hadn't gotten up yet, so I'm like watching whatever was on TV, and I happened to flip by Lockdown, and it was about Utah prisons and about the huge gang problem they have there. So there are street gangs in Utah.
I think there probably are street gangs everywhere.
No, they're big time street gangs, and they have a big rivalry. It's a Hispanic street gang that has a big rivalry with, I forget exactly which one, but one of the California Latino street gangs. So it's pretty rough stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, it was mildly interesting, speaking of Utah and escaping from stuff. So, you know, I've gone on and on about thieves and helpful police in the past. In fact, my phone, I didn't get my phone back. I paid $150 to get a replacement phone through insurance. So thanks again, Dick, who stole my phone. Well, a young woman in Vancouver, and by young, I mean 33.
Oh.
She, I found out her age, Dad. She had her stolen bike. her bike was stolen, and then it was found posted for sale on Craigslist. So she, after talking to the police, she had reported it stolen, and they said, whatever. And then they found it on Craigslist. A friend found it on Craigslist, and she said, hey, called them back, and apparently in Vancouver, it's one step ahead of Sacramento because there's somebody to actually talk to when you call the police.
Yeah.
She called the police.
To be fair, if you call during, I mean, regular business hours, the non-emergency line, somebody may have
maybe, but but anyway, she called them back to say, hey, my bike's been listed, is on Craigslist. Here's the guy's number, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, someone will call you back, but it might not be today. So she figured this was her only chance to get her bike back. So she set up a meeting with the guy. She called him up and said, hey, I'm interested in the bike. And so they set up a meeting at kind of a sketchy part of town in a McDonald's parking lot.
Yum, yum.
And she asked if she could ride the bike around the parking lot because she saw it. And she goes, in her head, she goes, that's my bike. I recognize the stickers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, yeah, but don't ride off with it. And she goes, okay. So she gets on the bike and rides off with it.
You just said you wouldn't ride off with it.
Leaving the guy. And she went home, double-checked the serial number on her bike to make sure that it was a match, called the police and said, hey, don't bother. I got my bike back. And then she called the guy's number back and apologized for stealing her bike back and not paying for it.
Because she's Canadian.
But yeah.
Although the way she wrote it, I mean, I have a feeling it was sort of like a, hey, sorry, I didn't pay for it. You beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, it wasn't really an apology. That's a good point.
This is from Reddit. After that, I called him and personally left him a message apologizing for not sticking around to pay him for the bike he fucking stole from me.
Yep.
I went home and checked my serial numbers, which of course matched. I looked at his phone number on Craigslist and noticed he was selling a bunch of bikes and iPhones as well. She called Crime Stoppers, gave them all the information that she had, called the police back to let them know that she didn't need to file that report after all. And apparently the lady who answers the phone at the Vancouver police had a great laugh with her about it. So then she posted it on Reddit, and where of course people were giving her shit because that's what happens on Reddit. And, the interesting thing is she's getting a lot of publicity. She got write-ups in papers in the UK and of course across Canada. Her Reddit post, one of the things she posted was because of course when you post something on Reddit, all the trolls go, show us a picture of your boobies. So she found a picture of obviously not fresh because she's wearing snowshoes, she's out snowshoeing, and where she had mooned someone behind her. And she does have a very nice derriere, I will say. So she did that. And then we found out, also from write-ups, that she likes to go different places and do the splits, which I'm in love now. I think I've found the third Mrs. Darling.
Aww.
She could do the splits and she'll show people her butt and she stole her bike back.
What
yeah.
more do you need? And she's Canadian.
Nate trifecta.
And she's Canadian, yeah.
She's a badass.
Oh.
She's a badass. She's cute. She does the splits and has a fantastic hiney. I mean, I don't know what else you can ask for.
You're right. That is a That's total really package right there.
And she does have pictures of herself that she also posted later doing splits around the world. Most of them, though, are in bars in Vancouver. So not really. There's the Portside Pub in Vancouver, the Gotham Steakhouse in Vancouver, the Corduroy Lounge in Vancouver, the Chewy's Oyster Bar. It's in Kits, Vancouver.
Oh, I know I like to have my drinks off something someone's crotch has been pushed down on.
Well, she wears underpants.
Chewy's?
Yeah. There's a picture of her doing the splits in Lost City, Columbia, South America.
You looked at all these splits pictures?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right. She's the future nurse's darling.
She did it at 7B, which is a dirty dive bar in New York City. So you might want to go and visit where she did the splits while you're there. Then there's one where there's a picture of her jumping in the air, showing her East Vancouver pride, wearing an I Heart East Vancouver t-shirt on a beach somewhere.
All right.
Yeah, it's you gotta like that. On a tank in Vietnam. You gotta love a girl who will do splits on a tank in Vietnam and at a bowling alley in Vancouver. So there's more than that, but I think I've gone on enough.
Nate's in love.
I am.
Aw.
I am smitten. Any girl that has that sort of chutzpah.
Ah, nice.
And butt. That is a combination.
Tuchus.
That, yeah.
Tuchus is the word you're looking for.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
If you're going to throw chutzpah out there, you might as well throw tuchus out there.
It is fair.
I'm impressed with being able to do the splits at age 33. I think I lost the ability to do the splits around age 11, 12, maybe.
I don't think I ever had it. I've noticed that my babies are super bendy and kids are just super bendy anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's because their bones haven't hardened.
But my daughter's already not as bendy. You know, she can't really grab her toes she used to be able to.
You're going to have to force that, because otherwise she's going to be, I think that's the British half of her that's just remaining stiff. It works its way to the upper lip.
That's just her upper lip, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So kudos to you for getting your bike back
and showing your butt.
Yeah, showing your butt. So I appreciate it. speaking of butts, my God, Miley Cyrus getting a lot of reaction from her.
Where's the who the hell cares button? Press the who the hell cares button.
Oh, this one?
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
All right, go ahead.
Everybody on the internet, apparently.
Don't you read the internet?
I do accept and I understand the need for self-preservation, which causes us to spend more time on this than the pictures of dead kids anywhere, really. I mean, there's several areas of dead children we can focus on.
Dead kids are a bummer.
So
just
let's
saying.
Talk about another person's dead childhood.
Dying on the inside.
Well, she's 20. She's an adult now.
I know.
Miley,
and this is 0%. I was really hoping for something actually shocking when I watched the video.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's less shocking than things I've seen from Madonna. In the past. I think, yeah. I mean,
it's the same thing she talks about and does in her video. It's been playing for months.
Yeah.
She says in the song what she's going to do, and then she did it.
Yeah. Are there teddy bears in the video?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think there is.
Yes.
I think there is.
Yep.
There's stuff that the video was a little bit more like, what the fuck is going on than this?
Yeah.
Because they always have ridiculous stuff that's poorly mic'd and poorly executed on any of the MTV shows. Like, it's the same shit.
I was personally more offended by Robin Thicke's suit.
Ah.
Which looked like the New York Yankees uniform had bad sex with a prison uniform.
Ooh,
because it sort of had pinstripes, but they were really wide, like a prison uniform.
Or a referee or something, like formal referee. Yeah. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, it was terrible. I don't even know what was going on there. But yeah, all the stuff that Miley Cyrus did, I was like, okay, yeah, she rubbed a foam finger on her stuff and was wearing like vinyl panties and bra, but seriously, I mean, Robin Thicke looked more like the Hamburglar than anybody.
Miley Cyrus's tongue was the most confusing thing to me.
I don't know
what that's about.
Tongue sticking out.
It was all the time.
It was sexy, but it also was a weird color. So whatever she was eating or drinking, or she's just ill. I know there's certain sort of Eastern medicine practices that judge your health by your tongue, and if that's the case,
well, you're going
to
get this.
Girlfriend needs to do something about that.
It was out a lot.
Well, they had pictures of her on the red carpet where she was posing with her tongue out, and there were pictures of her backstage after the show, and she was still posing with her tongue out. So maybe it was just dry.
Shock me, shock me, shock me with your deviant behavior.
I think Robin Thicke's wearing what Beetlejuice wore in his movie.
Oh, good call.
Yeah,
good
not bad. I still like the Hamburglar myself.
Okay.
So
no, I gotta give it to Beetlejuice.
Oh, it's okay.
Here's the other thing that that I found out was sort of a misnomer. Everybody said that the Will Smith shocked face was for Miley Cyrus. It was not.
Oh, yeah, I read that, too.
Yeah, I know, I read that, too.
It was actually for Lady Gaga.
And it was an appreciative shock face, not a shock face.
Yeah. Oh, that's the perfect picture of Miley Cyrus. She got the foam finger pointing down over her crotch with her tongue out into the side.
Yeah.
That is what said it all.
And just wanking. She was foam wanking.
Yeah, yeah, and it was...
Wanking?
Foam lady wanking.
Yeah.
I don't know, just nothing about it was that...
No.
The only shocking thing, I think, is the constant reminder of how good Disney's branding is. Because that's why this is shocking. Oh, it's just Miley, that poor girl. That poor girl, nothing.
No.
She's an adult.
Yeah, and she's very aware of what
she's
doing.
And
she's
made it quite clear over the past couple of years that, you know, she is,
yeah,
is not Hannah Montana.
No.
Boys and girls.
Nope, not at all.
Not Hannah Montana.
At all. Although I'm not sure what she was doing with the hair on the top of her head. That was just kind of weird, too.
I think those are little bear. It's like, little bear ears,
oh, is it?
Right?
It isn't? Okay.
It's like Chun-Li from Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, that too.
That could
but
be.
But I bet they're little, like
cutesy anime.
Little, yeah, bear.
I will say this. Kudos to her for working out, because she obviously spends some time in the gym. Because, I mean, yeah, she's taking care of herself. I mean, she's only 20, but still. She's working out. And
my dad's criticism was like, she can't dance. She can't sing. She's got a terrible shape and lousy legs. And I was like, I'm not. I think this
dad
has gone off the rails.
when your dad starts, so, should I send your dad a picture of the Canadian girl's butt for a full review?
I was surprised. He's like, what do you think of Miley? And I'm like, did you watch this? What are you talking about?
Right.
He's like, well, I had to look it up. Everyone.
Yeah, it's what everybody's talking about.
My dad's
about.
On Facebook. Everybody.
Yeah, nice.
She has a huge tongue, I got to say.
Honestly, she does. Is it the guy from Kiss? She's,
yeah,
that.
Gene Simmons.
Kind of. His is long. Hers is like really wide.
Just, yeah, it's a different. It's girthy. She has girthy. A girthy tongue.
I think one really good thing about this is that when Miley Cyrus gets back in the news, we get more Vanessa Bayer or Miley Cyrus on Saturday Night Live,
yes,
which I really enjoy. So I'm looking forward to the
it's
SNL
parody.
It's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that is. That would be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I noticed when you posted it on Facebook, you posted the Who Cares stuff, and you had a lot of friends who were like, well, I do.
I had so much commentary on that, which, I mean, just proves, and I posted about it, so, like, proving my own point. So much discussion and commentary and activity on that one post.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought what I posted that was interesting yesterday was on the salary disparities in the state legislature. But I have a feeling that any of my friends who would comment on that aren't going to do it.
No.
Like, even in the semi-public, you know, because I have my Facebook's on pretty good lockdown, but, you
right.
know, it's not. It's still out there, so I have a feeling they weren't going to comment on it because of that. But yeah, a lot of things to say about Miley. And I don't like... I mean, I agree with all the problems, and I agree with criticisms of sexualizing young people, because it definitely started. She's an adult now. However, she's, you know, behaved in a certain way before she was an adult.
Right.
And it is disturbing that we're like, here's the countdown to when they're 18. Now you can, you know.
Well, I mean, name me a girl who doesn't start at least thinking in that manner, or any teenager at about 15 or 16 years old. It's just that she is, I mean, she's famous, so you get to see it more.
Right. No, I mean, yes, it happens, and we have a weird relationship with sexuality and sexual activity and whatever development in our culture. But no, I don't think it's great. But the histrionics over, like, how dare MTV, and think about the children. Like, I was not allowed to watch MTV. Mm-hmm. In fact, I still think if I go to my house, someone would be like, turn that shit off. So, of course, I found a way, because this is the dance you do with parents, mm-hmm. right? They say, no, you find a way to see the stuff anyway. But there were still the expectations and the boundaries and whatever are there. So these people were like horrified that Miley, but she's a girl's role model. Well, you need to introduce your kids to some other role models.
Sure.
Then. So.
Sure. Maya Angelou's out there, and she doesn't twerk.
Or Hannah Montana. If that, I don't know anything about the show, because my kid, like, wasn't the right age. My kid's
right.
not the right age for that. Hannah Montana, the character, may still be a fine role model.
Sure.
Just don't let your kids watch the MTV.
I was really
VMAs.
I was really surprised at the number of people who hadn't heard of twerking yet.
Yeah,
because it's not new. I mean, it's been out there for quite a while.
Version of freaking or grinding.
Well, here's the thing: I knew the word twerking, And then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, right, of course I understand what that dance is. But I hadn't quite connected yeah. them. But, you know, Justin Timberlake's been singing about twerking since two albums ago. So, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
it's not like this is a brand new term. I had to double check my Urban Dictionary definition to make sure that I knew what everyone was talking about. And honestly, the only reason I did it was because I thought maybe it explained the tongue, that there was something that she was doing some kind of, and the tongue was part of it, you know, like crumping has a certain look and a certain face to it. Maybe this, you know, twerking would too. But then I was like, no,
she didn't even twerk that much.
No, she did
twice. And it was sort of just a little bit twerking.
Yeah, it wasn't full on. I think this is the real.
People have been grinding the stage and grinding each other and grinding snakes and whatever else.
Yeah.
For years.
I think the final word on this is for Miley Cyrus would be this.
Get that finger out of your ear. You don't know where that finger's been.
We know where the finger's been.
Yes, we've seen it.
Yeah, it's been everywhere. Ben Affleck, this was, until Miley Cyrus blew up, Ben Affleck, the new Batman, was the big thing on Twitter. Ugh. People were upset.
Come at me, geeks.
People were very upset by this. I don't care.
I hate the anger over this.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Makes me mad. I love Ben Affleck. I'm not ashamed. I have loved Ben Affleck longer than probably most people because I have loved him since he starred in the public television educational classic, The Voyage of the Mimi.
Wow.
Ben Affleck taught me that birch bark burns, even when it's wet. Does everyone else know that? If Ben Affleck hadn't taught me that, like, and I someday get stuck on an island and it's raining and full of wet wood, I wouldn't necessarily know. That's not the song from The Voyage of Mimi.
No, it's not.
I have, like, a completely different opinion of Ben Affleck. Like, for me, Ben Affleck's, what I love about Ben Affleck in movies began and ended with Dazed and Confused. He was a great asshole bully in Dazed and Confused, and I've not needed him before or since.
I cannot get through that
movie. Not even Good Will Hunting?
Really? Dazed and Confused?
I can't do it.
Literally watch it every single year around like late May, early June. It's my start of summer movie. Mm-hmm. Every time I watch it, I feel like it's the last day of school. I love it so much.
I have a feeling if I were dazed, I maybe would make it through the movie better, but I just can't.
I'm not dazed at all, but I don't know. I love that film. I've been in love with Ben Affleck.
I love Ben Affleck.
You mentioned Longer, and of course the Dan Fogelberg song is what popped into my head.
I loved Argo. I was glad he won.
Oh, Argo,
I don't give
was
a shit
fine.
About him being Batman because every superhero movie has sucked anyway. It's certainly that's not going to be Ben Affleck's fault.
I agree.
Superhero movie. You think every superhero movie sucked?
I think the recent ones have been either crappy or over.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not saying there have never. I mean, there have been good superhero movies, but most of the shit lately.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. It's been
shit. Saw that Superman movie.
Oh yeah,
sucked.
I didn't see it. I have no interest in it.
They're just really formulaic at this point. They just know it's kind of a cash cow. I think to make these movies and the constant reboots, like 3 years later, we're rebooting the whole thing with a new, yeah.
And we just did Batman. I didn't know we were doing more Batman.
Well, it's a Batman Superman movie.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's
let's put together two franchises I have not enjoyed.
Yeah, it's
two mediocre tastes. It tastes mediocre together. Oh,
what's happening? It's quiet.
That's
is
the
this
Joker?
The Prince song?
That's the Joker.
I think you need to Google The Voyage of the Mimi.
Oh, that's from the Batman
music.
Movie.
It's a bat dance. It's a tribute to the bat dance. Because Prince isn't on Spotify with this one.
You guys would love Voyage of the Mimi, I bet. It's about the sea and learning and whales.
Psh, learning.
Do those things have to do with me?
You like to learn.
I just think you guys like smart stuff.
You like it.
You think it's funny.
Are there
Ben
boobs
Affleck
in
is
it?
Cool. It's just cool. It's just fun.
Okay.
You just would like it.
We'll put it on our list.
You like documentaries? It's not exactly a documentary.
You're projecting on us.
God damn it. You will watch it and you will like it.
Oh.
It's playing into the stereotype that Jewish people are smart.
Hey, well.
How dare you?
And vegans, apparently.
Oh, either way.
Jewish people are vegans.
So,
it's kosher to be a vegan. Sorry.
Big backlash over Ben Affleck as Batman. It's the Man of Steel sequel. So,
I mean, that right there, you guys. Come on, internet.
Man of Steel,
you're not going to watch
sequel.
That anyway. You're going to hate to watch it.
People are going to go see that.
Just to complain about it.
Yeah.
Worst movie ever.
No, yeah. Well,
he killed somebody.
There's that. But ultimately, it'll have a really big opening weekend. And if it stinks, it'll trail off. That's the way superhero movies go. They have the big first weekend because everybody wants to go, whether they think it's going to be great or whether they think it's going to suck. And then if it's good, it does gangbusters. And if it sucks, it drops off a cliff.
What's a good superhero movie, Ted?
Oh, I thought the
the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight series were good. The first two of them were very good.
The one with Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought they were very good.
The Avengers?
I thought they were
Avengers
okay.
was all right.
I thought the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire
the
were
The first
good.
One with Tobey Maguire, that was nice.
That was good. The second one, not so good. Yeah, but I thought, you're right.
That was nice. That's what you're going for with the superhero movie.
I think you're right, Christina. There aren't a lot of super good superhero movies out there.
I agree. I'm still crossing my fingers for the Deadpool movie that's supposed to happen someday with Ryan Reynolds. I think that could be fantastic.
I will say this. When they announced that Michael Keaton was going to play Batman in the first ones, everybody went nuts about how bad it was going to be.
I've still never seen that one.
Ooh.
I know.
What?
I'm like 20-something years late.
I have the DVDs. I will loan them to you if you want them. You don't know what you're missing. Because Nicholson alone is worth the price of admission on that one.
He is very good as the
Joker. I don't
trust
people named Nicholson.
Inside joke.
Because
that's
my child's name.
Yeah.
That's your child's name.
It's true.
Little Nicholson.
The Nate Darling Show.
Oh.
Cool.
Or Tool.
Whoa.
All right. Let's get to this. First up in Cool or Tool, stealing your stuff back. Ted.
Oh, that's super cool. I love the idea of stealing your stuff back.
Becca.
Agreed. Cool.
Christiana.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, you should get your shit back. That's cool.
Yeah. If I run into that girl, I will ask her to marry me immediately.
Especially if the cops aren't going to do it for you. Take law into your own
hands.
I'm
going to steal your heart, and you can't steal it back.
That's right. Well, she could steal mine back, because she already has.
Aww.
I know. Up next in Cooler Tool, Miley Cyrus. Becca.
Tool.
Ooh, Christiana.
I am pick one. No, it's cool. It's fine. Fucking Miley, you do your thing. It's fine.
Thank you, Ted.
I feel Tool just because if you're gonna do something different. She's not doing anything different but being what other people are being, which is gross.
I will say this: her imitation of Madonna is a little bit more to the side than Lady Gaga's exact impersonation of Madonna. So I'm gonna give her cool if she does something about her hair. And finally, Ben Affleck is Batman. Christiana.
Cool.
Becca?
Tool, but not because I think he'll make a bad Batman. Just, I'm not interested in Batman, and I'm not interested in Ben Affleck, so.
Ted?
I guess I'll go with Tool, just because I don't have high hopes for him. I'm not that passionate about it, unfortunately. Sorry.
Apathy Tool.
I'm going to go cool, because I think that Blunt Man and Chronic will be the other superheroes in the movie that we haven't been announced yet.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
go. See that? And Jason Lee as Banky.
I love Jason Lee.
How could you not love Jason Lee?
Yeah.
See? There you go.
Skateboarder
turned actor.
That's awesome.
Super cute.
Turn lover.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
We should talk about that.
We could. I mean... But we're not going to.
Okay.
We're gonna move on with the show.
Oh,
The economic crisis has had a lot
Tool.
Of
Tool.
It is, except for this, because if you want to go ahead and give Obama credit for something, the economic crisis has made infidelity too expensive. So Obama and the terrible economy is leading to better marriages all around.
Yay!
Like you can't afford a kept woman. Is that the idea? Like no,
it's too it's too expensive to get the hotel
Everybody
room.
Everybody closed their credit lines and stuff.
Yeah, I mean you don't have that. It's just bad. You know, cafes and restaurants, experienced waiters would pretend not to recognize regular customers. Now canoodling with seasonal sweethearts, as the saying went. It's the middle of August. Who are you again? Or even more loosely from Italy. Wife, what wife? But not anymore. The European economic crisis rapidly changing Italy's social mores. Not only are wives increasingly working to support their families and thus also spending summers in the city, but they didn't before. It's also becoming prohibitively expensive to support the accoutrement of the double life.
I think we need a new segment called Is This a Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to hashtag not a thing.
Well, yeah, it is in Italy. But apparently the economic crisis, good for you. The other story that came out that would fall under that same sort of idea was that allegedly, if you have more sex, you'll make up to 5% more in pay. And
with
your
with
boss,
who?
Yeah,
no.
Or is it one of those
in general.
Like? Is it one of those correlative? Like maybe more attractive, thinner people are having more sex, or more confident, or happy people are having more sex, and those are the ones who are going to like ask for a raise or exude confidence.
Oh, do you work for the Atlantic and like to ruin things for everybody? Way
I do
to go.
Like to ruin things for
there
everybody.
There you go, because that's exactly what the Atlantic did. They came out with the article that said, oh, it's because people are thin, thinner people are having more sex, and better looking people are having more sex, and better looking people make more money. So that's why.
Did they type it with a lisp? Because that's weird.
Yeah, it's the snooty a-hole font is what they used.
Snooty a-hole font.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's Garamond.
It is. How did you know?
She knows her fonts.
Yeah.
I'm a wingding man personally, but.
Ooh.
There you go.
not web dings, wingdings. He's
Heck
old
yeah.
school.
I can get old.
It's the Comic Sans wing. For comics.
Ah, the funniest font of all.
There you go.
Hey.
Hey, it's time for Florida Corner.
Already?
Let's start with the ladies.
Already.
And we know social media is important now.
Yes, we do.
Well, a teacher has been using it to entice students and solicit sex.
That's not the best way to do it.
Are we skipping that measles thing?
We
got a lot of here. Right. We're not necessarily skipping anything.
All right.
She was arrested last week after using technology to solicit sex for multiple students, not just one. Stevie Glasspool, who's 31, abused her position as a teacher when she used Facebook to solicit sex from at least four victims at Mavericks Charter High School in Pompano Beach. Her victims range in age from 15 to 17. She invited them to sleep over at her home in Boca Raton and offered them marijuana as an additive incentive.
This is one of those ones where I would have, if I'd gotten through all of the show prep, sent an email that said, I'm not sure this is as funny as we... I don't think it's funny.
Oh, I didn't... I never said it was funny.
Well, I always think the Florida Corner stuff is more like, oh, stupid criminals who did stupid stuff naked or...
Man, well, we have
like,
that, too.
Threw a bottle at a cop or
we
something.
We have that, too. But here's part of the thing, and this is going toward an Adam Carolla saying, if you masturbate to the memory of it, was it really a crime?
What?
Because if you're a 15 to 17 year old boy and your 30 year old teacher
yes.
has you over to give you
no,
weed and sex,
it's still a problem.
I didn't say it wasn't a problem. I'm just saying what I'm saying.
Oh, and,
it's Florida. They do gross things there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. She's a mediocre looking woman.
Child abuse.
It is.
It won't load on my
Technically,
phone. There it is.
Becca's gone completely furrowed.
She's meditating again.
The brow is... She's not going to unfurrow that brow.
She's meditating again. All right, if you want your funny... here we go. How about a
Becca's
man...
Becca's hashtag shenaniganzing in her mind. In a meditative way.
Or I might just be hashtagging like... Well, I'm not hashtagging anything, but I'm just kind of like... Child abuse implications overload. Like I just,
yeah.
I just
swear
don't
to
have
God,
anything.
I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Exactly.
She said to them, "I don't want you to fall in love with me, but I also don't want you to hit it and quit it."
There you go.
That's pretty sensitive.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Think back to.
I can't do it.
Well.
Okay.
I can't.
Ted, think back to when you were 17. If a 30-year-old teacher was propositioning you, would you be horrified or would you be mildly excited?
I would be conflicted and confused, and I'd probably...
Oh, cultural standards, gender relations.
It's not... Let me just say this.
Wait,
it's not okay, but it's not... It's different.
Yeah, that's true, because I had a teacher that was kind of too flirty with me in high school, and
Ew.
It was terrifying. Like, I didn't
yeah.
like it at
yeah.
all. And like, a year later, he got fired for actually doing stuff with
yeah,
someone else.
That's Yeesh. Not good.
I guess it would freak me out. That's a good point.
Well, But if in the same situation, if it were a female teacher with a male student, he probably wouldn't have that same fear that you had. And that's the only point of the difference. Hey, over to the Men in Florida Corner. Since you requested it, a man was arrested after witnesses say he masturbated outside of the convenience store.
You requested that?
She wanted masturbating people.
Oh.
Okaloosa County Sheriff's deputies went into the Ritz food store on Beale Parkway to investigate an incident of exposure. It's true. There, they were told by two witnesses, not just one, that 37-year-old John Earl Utzi of Fort Walton Beach was standing in the south corner of the building next to the payphones. They still have those things? When he unzipped his pants, removed his genitals, and began masturbating.
I don't know about Florida Corner.
Well, that's how you do it. You have to, otherwise it's just a mess. They said he would turn, here's the best part. They said he would turn toward Beale Parkway while doing this and then turn back toward the building, changing his position several times.
What's the deal with Beale Parkway?
I don't know.
It's the sexiest parkway in Florida.
Deputies found him a short way down Beale Parkway. They noted that he appeared extremely intoxicated. Yeah. So he's in jail.
Well,
that's the way it
did
goes.
Did he have a foam finger with him? Because that's really usually the key evidence of wanking.
It's entirely possible that he did. I promised that we would find out what's an aspartame. This also not really that funny, although I found it mildly amusing because I don't have any of it. So take a nice big swig of your diet soda. A patent has confirmed that aspartame contains the excrement of GM bacteria.
What's that?
Genetically modified bacteria.
Yep.
Poop?
Yep.
Wow, it's got mutant poo in it.
No, there's a lot of poop everywhere in the world.
But mutant poop?
Yeah, well, that's what they do it. So, Monsanto was knowingly adding aspartame to soft drinks in the United States. It's made from GM bacteria. This report, which remains one of the earliest disclosures on aspartame in a mainstream newspaper, received very little attention after its publication, possibly because the implications were underestimated at the time, and it's been long since forgotten. That was back in 1999. Well, since then, the world has become a little bit more attentive to Monsanto and aspartame, but they didn't really understand where aspartame came from. It's not necessarily good for you.
It's poop fear is probably like the least of the bad aspects of it for you.
Right. So here's some scientific jargon for you, which bases it. Clone microorganisms are cultivated in tanks whose environments are tailored to help them thrive. The well-fed E. coli cultures defecate the proteins that contain the aspartic acid phenylene amino acid segment needed to make aspartame. I'll skip step three because it's boring.
Amazing. I think if you eat enough yogurt, you can poop protein.
Indeed. And step four, the feces are then treated. That includes a process of methylization, which is adding an excess of the toxic alcohol methanol to protect it. So they kill the poo by adding toxic methanol. So there you go. Enjoy your soda.
You can't spell aspartame without ass.
It's true.
That's the moral of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Partame. I don't know.
I'm partame.
Trying to help out, Christiana.
Whatever.
So, Becca, are you a Twihard? Do you like the Twilight?
You know what? I do not, and I really tried to embrace it because I love Harry Potter. I love the Hunger Games. I love teen novels in general. Coming of age stories are like my favorite, and I read the first one. And just the whole time, I was just like, no. And I didn't set out to hate it. I wanted to love it.
Have you watched the movies? They're so awesomely bad. It's a good time.
I've watched two of them because I'll go to people's houses and they're like, I read the Twilight. I'm like, okay. So I've seen two of them, but I got to watch the first one where they do that. I cannot think of what it's called, but it's the Mystery Science Theater 3000 mm-hmm. guys, what they do now. And they have tracks that you can download and play, but I can't think of what they're called now. And so I watched that version, and that was fantastic.
That sounds good.
So good.
Although, because Rob and I watched all of them, and then it became a thing, because they're so, so bad.
Yeah,
but then
bad.
We saw the final one accidentally. We went to see something else, the movie theater, and it was sold out.
The James Bond movie.
Yeah, we went to see the James Bond, and it was sold out, and then we saw the Twilight, the final one instead, and we were like, whoops, it's actually a pretty decent film.
So
I mean, it's like the payoff for watching all the rest of them, and you kind of have to keep in mind the scale of what you're looking at. But
is it okay for me to spoil Twilight for a minute?
Yes.
Okay, because did they actually have the vampire chew its way out of her womb like it does in the fourth book?
It's a combination of the thing chewing out and then him sort of chewing a hole in. It's not totally clear, but it's clear enough, I think, that you get what's going on. I think.
That's disgusting.
Because I remember when
didn't super retain that part.
When the first movie was a thing, I remember someone wrote an essay that was like, they are never going to be able to make the fourth one into a book because of all the cracked out stuff that happens. But they did. They totally did make it into a chewing cesarean section.
The creepiest part of the whole they have a baby thing is that they basically digitally impose an infantilized version of the young girl actress who plays the daughter when she hits that young girl age onto the infant. So you have this whole uncanny valley problem where it just looks like weird and like you fucking superimposed an animated face on a baby.
No.
And it is so distracting.
And then the werewolf falls in love with the animated baby, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I know all this stuff. I didn't read the books that far.
I know. Gross. Sorry. So what did Robert Pattinson do?
He said the real odd thing about this Twilight target group is that they aren't really teenagers. Most of them are older. Twilight has its own parallel world, its own fan culture that's been forming on the net since day one. And in an intense way, it has never existed before. Sometimes I ask myself what these masses of people do the whole day. Do they sit, they sit in front of their computers and comment on anything having even remotely to do with Twilight, day and night. So actually really exciting, at least up to the point when I became part of that phenomenon. So he did, he's pulled a Shatner, if you will, when Shatner shat upon these Star Trek fans.
Oh, boy.
But I mean, the Twilight movies are over and he's not really a good actor, so I'm sure he'll go away.
Yay.
Or he'll show up in T.J. Hooker 2.
Ooh, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, you know, they're bringing back Ironside.
Because no one cares.
I don't know anything. I have no idea.
I don't know what that is.
On. Ironside was a TV show from the 60s with the guy who played Perry Mason.
Oh, yeah. And he was. I've seen the commercials.
Sure. And he was the chief of detectives in San Francisco, and he was felled by an assassin's bullet, and he still solved crimes. Well, it's back, except instead of a middle-aged chubby white guy, it's Blair Underwood, who is ripped. He's in a wheelchair, he's in New York. So that's coming to NBC this fall.
Fucking New York.
So they're bringing that back.
They should bring Archie Bunker back. That's a classic show.
Those were
yeah, I would love that, Meathead.
That would go over well with our society.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. It'd be like,
there's not enough racist TV characters.
Well, I think the problem is there are.
But not in the ironic way that he was supposed to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the problem is people don't necessarily understand satire in the masses forms.
That's true.
Hey, by the way, if you'd like to support the show, one of the best ways you can do it is to shop Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. And let me just say this. To the people who have been doing this, thank you. And to everybody else, it's time to step your game up.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Because this has been a really slow month. It's to school. You could buy all of your back to school stuff now on the Amazon.
School books, even. They'll deliver to college students for free in 2 days or something.
I'm going to be using Amazon soon, I think, to source a lot of aspects of my daughter's Halloween costume.
There you go. So it's great for that. It's great
Halloween, that's right.
It's great for Halloween, online. Back to school, Christmas. It's not too early to start Christmas
or
shopping.
Hanukkah.
Yeah, you should spread those purchases out. You know, don't hit your budget only in December.
Yeah, start now. Get a gift here or there. And the best thing is, like, my dad lives in Vermont. I'm out here. They gift wrap. So you can order something, have it gift wrapped, and sent there. So even if you're traveling home for Christmas, which I am, instead of having to carry a whole armload of gifts to try and get them through the TSA and all this other happy shit, or throw them in your car, you can have them delivered, fully wrapped, to somebody else's door. It's fantastic.
Wow. Sign me up.
Yeah.
There. I know Rosh Hashanah is in like a week. Are there traditional Rosh Hashanah gifts?
If there are, they're on Amazon.com. I don't can't think of any. Sorry.
Darn. Well, start a trend. Shofar? Rosh Hashanah gifts.
Yeah, get your friend a chocolate shofar or something.
Yeah. Is that a thing? A chocolate shofar?
If it isn't, we're going to invent it.
There you go.
Sounds really good.
Can do anything. Canadian Thanksgiving is coming up.
Oh, when's that?
It's Columbus Day.
Oh. Yeah.
Same day. So, Go ahead and step up and do that, and we would very much appreciate it.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town
chocolate
news.
Shofar.
chocolate shofar.
It came up on Google. I don't know if it really is a thing, though. Anyway.
That's like the horn, right?
Yeah.
It's the horn, yeah, literally.
So you try to blow it, but then you just eat it.
I feel like you could probably get... They make like chocolate cornucopias for
Thanksgiving
dessert, so you could just not put fruit in it.
That's true.
I'm going to look into this.
Okay.
I think I hear a project night for me.
Yeah,
no, they're here. I see them right now.
Chocolate shofars
exist, people.
No
How much
kidding.
Do they cost?
I don't know. We'll look
can
it
get
up
them
later.
On Amazon?
Are they life size?
Right. We should do the small town.
Wow, it's sidetracked.
It's so much pressure for me.
Hey, it's time. And this time in small town news, it's time for Speak Out.
Yay!
This one's entitled Odor. Seriously, people, if you are coming into an appointment, please shower and put on clean clothes.
Bob.
Your odor is offensive.
Bob.
Next one. Wiener. Carlos Danger, a.k.a. Anthony Wiener, is the new Kim Kardashian of New York politics.
Nope.
This, of course, makes him overqualified to be the next mayor of New York, Sin City.
Nope.
No one could more accurately represent the true values of the big rotten apple.
Wow.
Ooh, small town hatred.
Yeah, upstate shit.
Note to the neighbors, we live inside the Adirondack Park, forever wild. I obey the spirit of the park and protect our natural environment. I keep my yard forever wild. Translation, I'm not mowing my fucking lawn. Fuck off.
I love that it's like, note to the neighbors. Like, how else could you leave a note to the neighbors? Well, you could
leave a note for right. the neighbors.
Or knock on their door.
Hey, you know what? Perhaps if people spent less on cigarettes and lottery tickets, they could buy the school supplies for their own kids instead of depending on everyone else.
Oh.
Dude, what?
But here's the thing. If you're going to do that, go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and then you can save money and have enough left over for a lottery ticket and maybe a pack instead of a carton of cigarettes. Just saying.
How do you jump to the conclusion that anyone who can't afford school supplies is spending it on that crap?
On lottery
because
tickets.
They are.
Go to
poor
a,
people be stupid.
Go to a mini mart sometime, Ted. Just
what?
Saying.
Who buys school supplies? All right, no, fine. What?
I got my lottery ticket before I came here.
There
almost
you go.
Forgot today. It was sad.
And your child was bought a book today, too.
I know. I saw that online. I also learned about my kid.
There you go.
Online.
Hey, you know, use the express checkout lane if you have a few items. Do not get upset because I am checking out with my coupons. They have an express for that reason.
That's true.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Someone's taking too long with the coupons. Like, oh, I think I have a coupon for that. Let me get it out of my
yeah,
purse.
Don't be upset with me in the regular line.
Look, I told
go
you
ahead
not to
and
stand
you...
behind me in line, Ted. Just pick another line next time.
Oh, wait, I'm going to write a check. I didn't know I had to pay for these groceries. Let me get it out of my bag.
Don't make fun of my mom. God
honey,
damn it.
We just started clipping coupons. We just got the Sunday B and started clipping coupons because we're both unemployed. So we're going to be those people next week at the store.
I have no beef with coupons. It's the people that take forever to get their coupons out and then realize they're paying with a check and then get the pen out and then start writing the check after they are told their total. The slow, stupid people that we all hate.
Okay, I'm going to let you handle the coupons then
sounds
when we
good.
Go to the store.
All right, that's a Ted and Becca moment.
You should
moment.
Do the Just For You thing on Safeway. It's really useful.
But we go to Bel Air because it's local.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're planning on your fifth or sixth kid and have no employment, maybe you should think about family planning. Who's paying for your ever-increasing clan?
Shut the fuck up.
The lottery. Why do you think those people are buying lottery tickets instead of school supplies?
And finally, to the parents of my teen's boyfriend.
Oh.
I'm tired of seeing my teen take care of your teen. My teen is not a parent and needs to focus on her life also. Money is being spent and wear and tear on a car.
That is the most passive-aggressive
Again,
speak I've ever.
To the parents of my teen's boyfriend, I'll just put this here in this public newspaper.
Surely they will think it's them when they read it.
Right. Like, yeah, they're so passive aggressive.
Yeah. Well, that's welcome to small town life. Yeah, you know where that doesn't happen? You know, people were talking in Portland.
About, oh.
Piercing. Yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Come back again for Friday's show. The tale of me returning to Portland, plus Mount Hood, Crater Lake. And the exciting hamlet of Bend, Oregon.
Bender.
You don't want to miss it. Or do you?
No, you don't.
The 90s yeah.
is alive in Portland.
The next show, the top 10 reasons to move to Bend, Oregon. There is seriously a pamphlet with that, and I will read them for you.
Yay.
Nice.
Everybody have a great one. We will see you in a couple of days. Bye-bye.
Bye. Mwah.
Content to be unambitious, sleep till 11, and just hang out with their friends. I mean, he had no occupations whatsoever. Maybe working a couple hours a week at a coffee shop.
Right. I thought that died out a long time ago.
Not in Portland. Portland is a city where young people go to retire.
Dream of the 90s is alive, Portland. All the hot girls wear glasses.
Yeah. Remember in the 90s when they encouraged you to be weird? It was just an amazing time where people would go to see something like the Jim Rose Sideshow Circus and watch someone hang something from their penis. You could grow up to want to be a clown. Like people went to clown school.
I gave up clowning years ago.
Well, in Portland, you don't have to.
Dream of the 90s is alive, Portland. Sleep till 11. You'll be in heaven. The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland. The dream is alive.
So from what I can surmise from what you're positing, it's like Portland's almost an alternative universe. It's like Gore won. The Bush administration never happened.
Exactly.
In Portland, it's almost like cars don't exist, right?
Yes.
People ride bikes or double-decker bikes. They ride unicycles. Yes. They ride the tram. They ride skateboards.
Yes.
Dream of the 90s is alive, Portland.
A flannel shirt still looks funny.
Dream of the 90s is alive, Portland.
Portland, you can go to like a record store and sell your CDs.
Turn that dirty clown frown right upside down.
Portland, you can put a bird on something and just call it art.
Dream of the 90s is alive in Portland. The dream of the 90s.
Hey, I made it.
Yeah, you're a little late.
Sorry.
You're also a little San Francisco right now, if you know what I mean. Try to. Sorry. Much better. Welcome to Portland.
Thank you.
The dream of the 90s.